Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Nason, and this is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome back. Big week for The Rock. Isn't every week big? This week is especially big because his movie, The Smashing Machine, comes out this Friday in theaters everywhere. I'm sure you've heard a lot about this film. If you're listening to podcasts on this website or wrestling or MMA in general, you know this movie about the life and times of Mark Kerr, former UFC fighter, MMA fighter for Pride and, again, other organizations and so on. It was based on a documentary that came out years and years and years ago. Dwayne Johnson became Mark Kerr for this movie, so it comes out this Friday. I got a chance to see the film last week, so I'll give you my thoughts about that. I'll try to keep the spoilers to a minimum. I'll let you know. Again, it's based on a true story, but I'll keep it clean. And I also talked to Boss Rutten. Yes, Boss Rutten, the former UFC heavyweight champion, former Pancrase champion. Guy's been doing commentary for years and years and years and years. You know him if you're into MMA. And I had not talked to Boss in well over a decade, and a perfect time to do it because he is in the movie. He lived part of this movie himself. He plays himself. So we chat about that, getting to know Dwayne Johnson and the like. So this is a really good talk with Boss, and hopefully you enjoy my review of the movie coming up right after this. This is Josh Nason's Punch-Out. All right, let's get into my review of The Smashing Machine. We'll take about 10-15 minutes or so. I'll kind of run through my thoughts on the movie. I saw it a week ago as I'm recording this. I was invited. One of the coolest parts of this job is getting invited to these things and getting access to these things, which are movie reviews. And I say that as someone that is not a movie critic, not a movie reviewer or anything like that. I recap and write about pro wrestling and occasionally UFC and MMA stuff for this very website. So to get invited to these things is one of the cool things of the job. So I got invited by A24, and this was, a week ago from recording this on Monday morning. So I have some time to kind of marinate in my thoughts on the movie and also without spoiling it for you. Now, of course, it's hard to spoil. If you've seen the movie, or if you've seen the documentary, The Smashing Machine, the original, which came out in 2002, you kind of know the story and so on. There are some beats, some things that I wasn't aware of and so on. So I won't spoil those for you. So if you're worried about that, no worries about that. So yeah, the movie is just over 2 hours long. Of course, if you know, it stars The Rock, Dwayne Johnson at this point, if you're listening to this, I probably don't have to tell you this. It came out, it comes out this Friday. It got released. It did the film festival circuit. It did Toronto and also the Cannes Film Festival, where it got a 15-minute standing ovation. Now, again, not being a movie critic, I get skeptical of those things because I'm a sports fan. I'm a wrestling fan, fight fan, kids softball games, my daughter and all that stuff. She gets a big hit or something big happens. Have anyone ever applauded or given a standing ovation for 15 minutes in anyone's life for anything? But for some reason, there's this competition with how long an ovation get for movies at these different festivals. And it's the divide in that culture versus normal life. I'll put it that way. And I saw a little bit of that at the screening, which I'll tell you about in just a minute. Interesting insight into this world. So I saw it last Monday at the AMC Tremont, I think it's called. Tremont? I don't know. I should know. It's in Boston. I saw it in IMAX, so that was cool. And if you have the opportunity to see us in an IMAX, I would. It's not necessary, but certainly add to the experience. It was a lot of fun. And so, yeah, they give the media a free ticket. And I actually got this Smashing Machine souvenir T-shirt, which I will never fit into in my entire life. It is I'm looking at it right now. It's highlighter yellow. It has a Smashing Machine on it. So, I don't know, kind of cool. My daughter was very interested in it. I don't know if she wants to wear a Smashing Machine skirt T-shirt to elementary school, but that'd be a conversation for another day. So the movie, again, just over 2 hours, and it is based on the life of Mark Kerr, an MMA fighter who also fought in the UFC. This is during the 90s and really before the tough period, the boom period in MMA. That's how I got into it. It was 2005. So a lot of this, you know, pride and so on, this was before my time as a fan. Certainly well more averse people out there. Jonathan Stone, for example, who I've had on this podcast before, is writing a book about pride. And I'm actually not sure when that's coming out, but he was certainly not. I'm very interested to hear his thoughts on this when this movie comes out, when he gets a chance to see it. So I will say it is, I really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed it for a lot of reasons. I don't think it is an Oscar-winning movie in terms of like a Best Picture nominee. I think part of that is, and this is just me, my own bias, movies that have a lot of like fighting and sports and action, things like that, which there is quite a bit of in this, I don't know how well they'll resonate with an Oscar voter. I guess we'll see. The outside the cage, outside the ring stuff is very compelling. That's what makes the movie. The relationship with Mark Kerr and his girlfriend, who is played by Emily Blunt, and his relationship with Ryan Bader, who plays Mark Coleman in the movie, and Mark and Boss Rutten and so on, people that kind of come in and out of the movie, his relationships and so on. That's what, you know, that's what makes the movie. The action is really good. For someone that has watched, and you have done this as well, movies that involve sports, especially fighting movies, it is really hard to recreate because you're trying to get the actor's face in there, and you can always tell when the actor is never throwing a punch. You know, we've seen this all a million times, and action is just kind of like, oh boy, it's not good. This action really was good. It looked realistic, and I think that helped kind of get over the fact just how violent a sport this was. And Mark Kerr was not a meathead outside, and you kind of look at him and how big he was, and again how Johnson plays him. He wasn't. He was a gentle guy outside the ring, and he had his issues, and that's really what makes up the kind of the meat, the backbone of the movie. And we'll get to how Dwayne Johnson played him. So when you and I have seen Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, in movies before, we've seen him, of course, on WWE TV, The Final Boss, and so on and so forth. It's hard. He's one of the world's most popular celebrities and well known. It's hard to kind of get away from that for him because he's so giant, like physically big. It's distracting in a way if he's trying to play anything other than, you know, someone in Jungle Cruise or a Fast and the Furious movie or so on. So now he's really making this pivot to try and doing more serious stuff. And initially it's kind of like, all right, that's Johnson and so on. But when you look at the pictures of Mark Kerr and Johnson side to side during this era, I mean, it's pretty spot on. And I will say he does a great job of losing you, and the director and Benny Safdie and everyone does a really good job of making you forget it's him. And that's probably the best compliment you can give, is that you know it's Johnson, but you kind of get lost in the character. And I guess that's the whole point of a movie or a TV show or any type of creative endeavor like this, is you forget that it's the actor. So I will say he does a really good job. Toward the end of the movie, he did feel like he became a little bit more Rock. There, he shaves his head near the end of the movie. And then it becomes a little bit more kind of like you have a tough time kind of separating the two. The accent he has kind of goes in and out a little bit. Mark Curtis, specific way of speaking, which you notice it more at the beginning and less so at the end. That's one thing I did kind of pick out as well. But yeah, it was he was more the Rock at the end, but that didn't like ruin the movie or anything like that. It was just something I kind of noticed as time went on. And he goes for it, you know. And Emily Blunt is someone that he's worked with again on the Disney movies before, and she was great in this. She plays Mark Kerr's girlfriend, and she has her own issues. They both have their own issues, and the problem, she's an addict in a way of like an addicted to him and the relationship, but is not great for him and supportive in the right ways, but also the wrong ways. And it's just a very toxic relationship, which plays out on the screen, and they don't hold back. There's one scene in particular that I won't spoil that really kind of stands out. I guess if there's a chance for an Oscar in some way, that might be it. It is very intense, and it is one of those that once you see it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that was good. Again, very emotional, and she makes you feel a certain way, like you don't like her. And you hear people behind me, certain decisions that she was making, you could feel them kind of react to the decision she was making, and almost kind of like, are you serious? You're going to do this? It evoked that emotional reaction out of people. And it was good, and I felt the same way. Ryan Bader plays Mark Coleman, who, again, big name fighter out of this era. He also fought later years in the UFC, and there was if you remember, he fought this very legendary fight against Randy Couture, just kind of this last gunslingers fight in UFC that headlined a pay-per-view. I believe it headlined a pay-per-view, and it was really good. I think it was in Germany, of all places. But that was that's well worth if you're a fight fan. If you remember that, or if you haven't, go check that out. It's a good one. So that's played by Ryan Bader, former UFC fighter, former Bellator champion, I do believe. I think he might be retired at this point. So one of the things, you know, going into this was that a lot of people, oh, you can't believe how good Ryan Bader is. It's all, you know, a lot of people can talk about. So that kind of didn't ruin it for me, but it definitely kind of painted my view of like, okay, what, like, how good are we getting here? And it was tough for me to not see him as Ryan Bader, as the actual, you know, the guy that I watched fight for years and years and years, because it didn't make him look any different, you know? It was just Ryan Bader. And so he just did his thing. Yeah, I think if you, and I was thinking about this the other night, again, given a couple of days to kind of marinate and think about stuff, that I heard the point made, and actually it may have been this interview with Boss Rutten that comes up in a couple of minutes, that he's never acted before. So to have him kind of come in and do this, and he does it in a way that it's not bad, you know, and it just, it's consistent, and he maybe just kind of played it how he would, but he doesn't stand out as like, oh my God, it's a first time actor or anything like that. So I'd be interested for people outside the bubble, what they think of his performance. Let me know once you see it. Josh Nason on Twitter or on Blue Sky, if you prefer there as well. Boss Rutten, of course, is in it. We talked to him in just a few minutes, and he plays himself. Very easy role to play in some ways. We chat about that during our conversation. But he stands out as good. And, yeah, I mean, this isn't like a sprawling cast, and that's good. You don't have to pay attention to a lot of stories. There's not, parents involved, and there's not, you know, it's a very small group to pay attention to, which helps because you really just kind of get invested and lost in them and so on. But, yeah, other notes that I took again, The Rock looks, it, once you see Mark Kerr picture side by side with The Rock, looks exactly like him. It's crazy. Emily Blunt is great. Fans of that era of Pride, even Strikeforce as well, we'll see, of course, Boss Rutten. Stephen Quadros, who I interviewed a long, long time ago on, I don't think it was on my podcast, but I think it was when I was doing an MMA show for a New Hampshire radio station. I talked to Stephen Quadros there, I believe. Satoshi Ishii is in this movie as well, playing one of the other fighters. And also Alexander Usyk, a current boxer, plays Igor Vochanchin, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I apologize if I'm not, who's a big part of the movie as well. He doesn't, you know, do a lot of acting, does a lot of fighting and so on, but his role is very important, and you'll see that as well. Lots of music in this movie. There's a lot of music, and almost, I think it might have been a little too much, a little over the top with like constant kind of hits and so on and things like that. But it wasn't too distracting, but it was enough where I'm bringing it up now, put it that way. So a lot of music and so on. I think this is well worth you seeing. If you're a fan of The Rock, if you're a fan of fight films and so on, if you're a fan of that era, maybe get out of the UFC or so on, I think this is going to be worth your time. It's not, it's a fast-paced 2 hours. It's nothing that, you know, I think you're going to be checking your watch or anything like that. I like this better than the Iron Claw, which came out last year, also from A24. So I liked it better than that. And I'll be interested to see once more historical MMA people have seen this, what their take is on the movie. As I mentioned earlier, that 2002 documentary with Mark Kerr that you should check out. And that was unrelenting as well. And I think this movie certainly comes in pace with that. I think that's really kind of all the notes and thoughts I had. But I will say one thing. So film critics, movie critics. I think I said this earlier. I have not read any of the other reviews or so on for this. I wanted to kind of stay away from that before I record this. But it is interesting. It gave me such a look into how annoying wrestling fans and other fans must seem to other fan bases when we complain about stuff, myself included. Because there are people complaining or like they're trying to throw their opinion out there. One person said, right after the movie ended, because he wanted other people to hear it, he's like, this is The Rock's most nuanced role yet. And I was like, nobody needed to hear you talk. I don't know. It's weird. And then self-importance, I guess, I kind of got from other people that are there, media people to watch it, but they weren't MMA people. They were movie critics, I guess. I don't know. It certainly stuck out. I can't remember if I mentioned this earlier, but Nick Newell, who used to fight in, did he make it to the UFC? He might have just fought in Bellator, but he was a person that was, the guy was born with a birth defect, so one of his arms isn't fully formed, right? So essentially a one-armed fighter. It was this big story that came out a couple of years ago, and he actually got his opportunity to fight, and he was really good. And then the competition kind of caught up to him. But he was actually sitting in my row a couple seats down. So it was pretty cool as well. So final thoughts. Go see The Smashing Machine. Comes out this Friday. And let me know what you think. Josh Nason on Blue Sky or Twitter. Do you agree with my opinions? And I think it's well worth your time to go see it. And I think you enjoy it. Is it a couples movie? I think it could be. I think it could be. My wife, afterward, when I came home, I said, I think you might like this movie. I think you might like it. So I would definitely check it out and bring a spouse, bring a friend, bring a date. I don't know. Good date night movie. I don't know. Don't bring your kids. A little too violent for the kids. I would say that. So keep them at home. So with all that said, let's get to my talk with Boss Rutten, who was in this movie and has a lot to say. And I ask him a lot of questions. Let's get to that right now. And I'll come back after that. My guest today is a man known to fight fans around the world. He has been for two decades, has been just that, doing both for what he's doing inside the cage and, of course, outside as well. Commentator, actor, also an entrepreneur. We welcome the former UFC heavyweight champion, former Pancrase openweight champion, UFC Hall of Famer, and, of course, one of the stars of The Smashing Machine, Boss Rutten. Boss, it's great to have you here. And I got to tell you, I'm watching this movie. I saw it on the screener, the big IMAX, and you're on there. And I got to tell you, 60-year-olds aren't supposed to look as good as you do. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's the O2 trainer. I don't know if it's the Exodus 90, martial arts training, good living. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, it's working for you.
It's working, yes. And I'm happy too, because that's why I was able to play myself, So it's like too much. It's healthy living. After my last fight in 2006, that was the first time I hired a nutritionist.
Yeah.
And then I felt amazing. Now all my injuries came back, but for the rest, I was going like, okay, I got to keep doing this. And then I just started living much healthier, stop too much, make the food yourself, know what you put in your body. And apparently it works like a charm.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to tell you, so we'll talk about the movie, but you play yourself in the movie, which is it's so rare because obviously everything happened so long ago, but you look like you did then. I'm sure there's some, you may not say that, but to me and other people, you look just like you did back then. It's not that much of a jump.
No, I did. Okay. My facial, I start getting more wrinkles. That's the thing. But sure. I think physically I'm actually looking better because I start getting more cut. Everybody says you put some weight. They go, dude, I'm 208. I started fighting at 203. My heaviest I was with the jeans on, that was my last fight, that was 211. So I always been like within 6 or 5 pounds, throughout my entire career. But that meant that now I start losing the fat, and that makes you look bigger apparently, because yeah, it's more cut, it shows your veins. And now it's suddenly like, oh, look at him, he's full of testosterone. People, that's how they forget about what you do for it, and have to do for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting how now these days it seems more people are, there's more tools for them to understand what they're taking in, what they're putting out. There's so much different advice out there and all these different types of things. and for all types of ages. You know, the workouts that work for strength training for a 25-year-old is much different than a 45-year-old, a 55-year-old, and an 85-year-old. So, but there's so much more information now. I think in some ways, as a nation, for those people that care, their people are getting healthier and hopefully living better lives because of it.
I hope, you know, because if you read the statistics, it's like only 22% of the people work out more, 3 times or more per
Yeah.
week. And that's 22%. And then you look at the population, the way they look, you go like, more people need it. You
Yeah,
know? And
exactly.
it is. And they're all unhealthy. And what comes with it is what they don't realize. If I don't work out, like memorization, I need to memorize a bunch of stuff for my shows, for everything that I do.
Yeah.
If I don't work out, it takes me literally double the amount of time to memorize something. It is 100% proof. And if I work out, that's why before every fight, I'm always, or fight, commentating jobs, whatever, I'm always working out in the gym, or I'm doing my workout, my audio workout in my hotel room, you know, because the blood needs to be flowing. And it makes you so much clearer in your mind that there's so much for you. And it's proven out that it actually keeps your intelligence up if you simply work out. But we don't. We want to stop, take pills for everything.
Yeah.
Because I want to lose weight, book a pill, you know, heartburn, take a pill. People are eating all the crap, get heartburn, and they say, but I still want to eat it. No, this is your body, you don't want to eat it. Maybe you should stop eating it. No. Drink a bottle of Pepto-Bismol, whatever it is, and then still eat
Yeah.
that crap so you don't get that feeling. I go, what are you doing? And then complaining about other people who are healthy, you
Yeah,
know?
exactly.
Or when something like COVID comes along and I go, oh my God, it hit me hard. Really? That's a surprise, you
Yeah.
know, because you're just not in shape.
Yep.
Train yourself, you know, do something.
Exactly. So let's talk about the movie. So you were in the original documentary, The Smashing Machine, that was on Mark Kerr back in what, 2000 and 2002, I believe, something along those lines. And you, as obviously, you were coaching him at this time. How did you first get contacted about being in this project?
A while ago, I heard it first from Mark telling me, and then like 6 months later, DJ announced it at the UFC event, but it was not a lot of steam coming from it, so to say. And then suddenly Mark called me again. He says, hey, we're going to do the movie. I go, oh my God. He says, yeah. And then Benny Safdie, he says, the director was going to do the movie. I go, oh, the guy from Uncut Gems. Yeah, okay, great. So yeah, he wants you to play yourself. I go, dude, sign me up, please. So I had a talk with Benny at a powerlifting game from the daughter of my buddy. I
Okay.
got a step apart, you know, and we zoomed. And that was it. We connected right away. It was a good guy, born on the same day as I am, actually, also. So
There
I
you
said,
go.
maybe a great connection. And that was it, you know. And he says, I'm going to send you the script, you know, and whatever line you have, it's just a guideline. You be you. You change whatever you want to change because it's you, you know. And I don't want to have any say in it. It's just the direction. And the direction he took simply from the documentary. So it was already stuff that I said. And then I just put in everything in my own wording.
Yeah.
And that was it. So.
That's great. Yeah, I was going to ask because you get to play someone that you know really well yourself. So you mentioned kind of like his instruction. How did you like literally just take that advice to heart and go in it? Or how did you approach playing yourself without seeming like you are playing yourself? You know what I mean? Like how did you go about so it felt natural to you, but also was good for the cameras as well?
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. That's my at first, I think coach told me, as soon as somebody says that you are exactly like you are. You're acting the same as you act in real life, he says, that's the biggest compliment you're going to get because that means you're very comfortable in your skin. And that first compliment I had from Here Comes the Boom. I had one bad review who said, nobody in the world can be like that guy. And all my friends were saying, dude, you just played yourself. You know, that was hilarious. I go, thank you. That was a great one. So for me, it was easy. And I'm saying it was easy because of Benny Safdie, the way he controls the set. Everything is so nice, so calm, relaxed. There's zero pressure with this guy. And then you have Dwayne coming in, who is Kerr. You know, it was the very first time I saw him. We were making a shot for the movie and a still. And he was there, and I literally told somebody, I said, I'm getting goosebumps right now. This is crazy. He was like the walking, he was talking like him. When he met me, he gave me a big kiss on my head. And I go, okay. And then I go, oh my God, Kerr used to always do that to me. If I walked in, he would grab me and he said, why, how are you doing, boss? So he was doing that. And then it started, you know, and the way he was standing and walking, I mean, everything was, he was just Kerr. So then what I'm doing is something that I've been doing for freaking 40 years now, teaching. You know, and then being thrown into a set where everything's calm and it feels like you're at the set because everything is built exactly the same. And then, add a fighter in there who is Kerr. So I
Yeah.
was just training Kerr. And then you forget about everything else and you just teach him. That's it. You try to get his attention. So no attention for other things.
So, as you're going through this script and you're going back this time in your life, was that retrospective for you, introspective, reflective? Was it difficult for you? Was yeah, because some people, certain memories in their past, their joyous ones, tough ones, and so on. Was that hard for you to go back to that, or how did you kind of get in that to try to remember those emotions of that time?
It was so hard, but it was hard also because I knew the outcome, So I know what happened with Mark afterwards, and that he tried to kickstart it a few more times with fighting, and it unfortunately didn't happen. And then again, at these places, conversations between his wife and after a fight, a lost fight, that she would say, "You look like a beginner," or something, and I go like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, get the hell out of this room! What are you talking? What are you doing? He just lost. Why would you talk like that? You wait for 3 days." So all these things, these emotions, I know, and I know Mark is a very, very peaceful, emotional guy as well. He's really in touch with everything in his body. So it's hurting him,
Yeah.
and you don't want a guy like that hurt, because you meet Mark, you love Mark. Every guy will say the same thing. There's not one guy who says, "Oh, he's an asshole." He's not. He's just a really friend. He's like The Rock. The Rock is the same kind of guy. I always thought, because people might say things, but you never hear anything about him. Well, first let's meet him, see what happens. And then the way he treats other people, how he invested he is to go to the extras and to give him a hand and to shake, "Hey, how are you doing?" And to say hello to everybody, and that is how I judge people, not how they judge me, because they're always nice to me because they're afraid they're going to get hit, right? And my wife always says, "They only laugh because they're afraid of you." If I
Yeah.
make a joke, and I go, "Stop! It's a funny joke." So yeah, it that hurt me, and it brought me back. When the pain, with the scene where I hurt myself again, that really freaking happened, and it was an insane pain that actually stopped my career. So now I dealt with that again, because it was hard for me to stop fighting. I fought like four fights with that problem. And what people don't understand is that if this would happen 3 weeks out for a fight, I would feel a little tick, and that's always after I muscled out of something or I hit the bag too hard. I feel like a real little tick, and then I go, "Oh, here we go." And then at 45 minutes I have. So every day from that moment on, I got 45 minutes to train. You can put a clock on it, and then 1.5, 2 hours. Insane pain. Like insane pain. I had sciatica, I had this. That still needs to be topped. And there was no pills. Well, there are, but you can't take them because I need my freaking mind. I can't slow down. I need to be on my freaking top, So and then training. Well, if it happens 3 weeks before, that's 30 workouts. I'm gonna have to go through this, And that's when I moved out of the house with my wife. Like my last fight, for instance, the last 12, 14 days, I think I say, "You know what? I'm gonna go somewhere else. I know I'm not gonna be a very pleasant person to hang around with because I'm just too beat up. Everything is hurting so bad, and I don't want you guys to see that." And she's a very understandable. My wife is the opposite. She goes, "No," or she suggests it. She says, "Why don't you go somewhere else? Just relax, And that was my power. I had the complete calmness at home and the perfect wife, and that. And for him, you saw now, when I read the script, I knew it was toxic, but once I read the script for the very first time, I go, "Oh my God, Mark, I didn't. I knew there was something going on, but I mean,
Yeah.
that much, everything is a fight." And I can understand. I've been in a relationship like that a long time ago, but thankfully I got out of it really fast. Best decision, because why? And I think as an athlete or as a musician or any profession for that matter, if you have a court case and you have to defend somebody against the death penalty or whatever, and you need to be completely calm, and because you're responsible for if that person is going to live or die, maybe, right? And then have a relationship like that at home, I don't think it's going to help you. I don't think it will help anybody.
I
So
hear.
that's what hopefully people now are going to see.
Yeah.
If you want to be involved with a guy like that, well, there's going to be some trouble coming.
Let's talk about Dwayne Johnson, the man you call DJ. So you had obviously he comes in with a lot of star power, all that. I don't know if you knew him before this or not, but you've worked with a lot of people. I'm sure that actors that oh I've watched some stuff. I know how to fight or look like I'm fighting. And then he comes in. He loves MMA, and he obviously has a pro wrestling past. And the fight scenes, that's they really stand out is that they look real, and he looks the part. What was your interactions with him and his love of fighting and so on and so forth?
It was really good because we've been going all with each other. We've been online. We've been always in contact and saying things. He actually had a thing here, and I'm showing this, by the way. This I'm not, because I thought this is incredible for a person of that status to say that to me. And somebody made a screenshot out of it. Oh no, I made a screenshot, but a friend of mine gave me this thing, and this is what it says.
Oh, the tweet. Oh, back from 2016.
So the fact that he says, I say, oh, somebody asked me, hey boss, what are you going to do against The Rock in a street fight? I say, yeah. I said, oh, it's going to be hard for me because I love this guy. No fight, please. That's my answer. He answers, love you back, boss. I also love my teeth to remain in my mouth. Right? So that's funny. And people go like, oh, that's why he shows it. No, I'm not showing that for this. I'm showing this. This is how he is. This is a person who everybody's always an action star. He's doing this and doing all these things. And for him to put that online, that shows you the humility of a person like that. That's why I love this message. Not because I go, oh, it's cool. I go, I'm a professional fighter. I mean, any other sport, that's going to be, I'm not going to excel in that, but we're pretty much going to win, right? If we do this for freaking 30 years every day, single two, two, three times a day, come on. But for him to do that, that's what I go like, okay, that's got to be a good person because nobody else would do that. That would be taking the high road.
You got to work with Emily Blunt, and you had this one scene I remember where you spoke volume with your eyes in this scene. And what was it like working with her? Obviously, she's done all kinds of things and must have been a pretty great experience working with her.
She was awesome, man. The coolest thing was, and I don't know if Benny 70 showed that clip just before, but when she saw me, she goes, hey, bang, bang, bang. She's doing that from the street fighting DVD. So that was cool. But like I said, Benny could have showed her a minute before and said, hey, what's this crazy guy? So I don't know about that, but it was cool. And then she started talking to me. She says she was going to talk to Dawn to get a character. And I need to talk to you about your conversations you had there with her. And I go, what do you mean? I almost never talked to her. Why not? I say, like a one line. I say, get the F out of this place. That's pretty much the only line I ever said to her. And she goes, what do you mean? I go, well, after a fight, she started telling him he looked like a beginner, and he lost that fight, So I go, get the F out of here. I say, well, what are you doing? So that was it. I say, yeah, that was it. So. Even if she came, that was all real. I would never say hi, Donna, so because I knew it was not her fault. She's 28 or 27, what she is. We're all crazy at the time. I was crazy at the time. That's just we're young, I spent a lot of time with Mark, and she didn't like that, and she wanted more attention, and maybe that some fight started there. And you saw on the phone, why don't you call him? He's my friend. And you'll see this in the movie. So she was just wanted, she really liked him, wanted to have him for her only. But then he started sharing his life with other guys as well, given the friendship, of course. And then she would kind of be jealous of that, you see. So, but again, we're young. We all kind of did that, if you go back in time. So it's not nothing, it says nothing of who she really is. But I knew that I just didn't, I would never say hi, never would have say bye or something because. And that's right, that scene. I can talk. Yeah, I'll talk with my eyes because I think you're a bee. Because I see my fighter being so affected by it that it hurts him in his performance. If you sit with a guy in the car and an hour and a half somewhere, and he's an hour and a half on the phone with somebody because they want to keep on talking, I go, put the phone down. You're here to train. Don't get brainwashed, And then she got inside his head, took him away from my training again, which happened before, and then he lost, and now it happened again, and then things start going wrong. And at the time, yeah, it was just a different time. People sometimes, it just that's why Emily is so good. There's this scene in the dressing room, and he tries to explain her what winning feels like, and then the way she reacts to him. Like, yeah. But you see in her mind, she thinks, whatever. She's playing that so well, that scene. She tries to act, convince him that, oh, no, yeah, no, I understand. I understand. But you can tell that she doesn't give a crap. She's just talking with him right now. And I think it's hard for a fighter, they need that connection, And unfortunately, he didn't have that with her. Maybe if he had a different profession, everything would have been nice and dandy. I don't know,
Final question. Do you have a favorite scene in the movie?
Oh, everything now, because I also saw it the third time on the IMAX, and then the way he laughs, and I was just the way he's acting is going in its entirety. I realize now that the facial expressions and his mouth movement when he cries and when he laughs, it's not The Rock, it's not DJ, it's Marker.
Yeah.
He pulls up his the sides from his cheeks different, you know. And you and on an IMAX, I was like, oh man, see that. So every time you see it, it impresses you more. And then Emily Blunt, the scene that they have, I don't know if you saw the movie, but there's
Oh
a
yeah,
fight
yeah.
going to happen, you know. And then she has this little crazy smirk on her face, like, you know, she wants this fight. Let's go, you know. And the way she plays that, it's like, fuck. It's you know, all that, and seeing Ryan Bader freaking performing like an actor, a professional actor.
Yeah.
You sick. I mean, that scene, how relaxed he comes in, hey, I've been laughing. People all think it's easy. It's not easy in front of cameras and do and be natural. Go get it, go be natural. Oh, smile. Yeah. No, real smile. Oh, now the pressure is on. You know, look, I always tell my friends like this. It's very simple. You walk on the street. Right? And then suddenly there's six girls, beautiful girls, and they all stop talking and they start looking at you. Do you think you still walk the same? You start adjusting the way you walk, the
Sure.
way you, because you think you're not cool, you know, you start becoming self-conscious. And that's acting kinda, you know. Now you got cameras in the face, and if it's on a big movie project, well, one shot, if you mess it up, that could be $30,000, $40,000 that went down the drain right now in time. You know, okay, that's a lot of pressure. You see? No,
Yeah.
I don't. Okay, relaxed. Yeah, good luck with that. Because once it starts, it builds up. But then if you have a guy like Benny Safdie, who is like, hey, no, don't worry about it. Hey, blah, 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 blah. And everything goes nice and dandy. Now you see performances like this. You know, everybody is in their own freaking world. And they were there. We were there. We were there at that time. Everything was built. The set was built like that. The Japan, everything backstage was even Japanese. It was
Yeah.
amazing. Tokyo Dome lights, he brought in, same camera. Same, dude, what a commitment. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I think people are really gonna love it. You are great in it. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to see what the reaction is when it comes out next week. Boss Rutan, thanks so much. And as always, Godspeed and party on, right?
Godspeed and party on, brother.
Thank
Thanks,
you. Great talking to
Jack.
you. Thank you.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right, big thanks to Boss Rutan for stopping by. I can't remember if I mentioned this in the interview. The last time I had talked to him was 2011. That was the only time I had talked to him. He was one of the shows he was doing, Inside MMA, that he was doing with Mauro Ranallo, was just got clearance on New Hampshire cable outlets. I think HDNet we finally got, and I'm like, oh, we should get him. So we talked to him back then, which was pretty cool. And I will tell you, I was kicking myself after the interview. The reason I was kicking myself, a mistake by my part. I've been doing this too long. So I did not realize. So initially I reached out and I said, oh, I'd love to talk to Boss for like half an hour. And as you know, if you listen to this podcast, we like to get into topics. We like to kind of delve deep and we hit that 45-minute mark a lot, you know? And so I'm like, okay, half an hour should do it, you know? Had my things, and so they booked the interview, and I did not realize he was doing multiple media interviews during that day, in that time frame. I think since he was doing like a car wash, going from place to place to place, so I did not realize that. So again, I'm asking about kind of like working out and fitness at the beginning, and that was just kind of my warm ups to get into it. And then so we started getting into the interview, and then I get a message from the PR person saying 5 minutes left. And I was like, oh shit. I realized it was time. So Boss is talking, and then I'm looking at my questions, and I'm kicking myself in my head, like, why did I not ask? I would have completely restructured how he did it. There was a couple of things I really wanted to get into, and you know, it just didn't get there. But I think I got to the meat of what I needed to. But I made a rookie mistake. Even now, I'm just like, ugh. Always ask how much time you have. Usually, I don't have to do that, but in these things, I did. So I learned my lesson. There, friends. Learn my lesson there. But I hope you enjoyed the talk with Boss, and I hope you enjoyed the look at the movie. Again, let me know if you go see it. I'd be interested to see what you think, and we'll interested to see what the world thinks. If you need more of me, and of course you do, you can hear me on Wrestling Observer Live. I did Sunday's show talking about an angle that happened at AEW Dynamite, or sorry, an angle that happened at AEW All Out that I think should happen at Dynamite to make that show feel more special. Talked about AEW Collision, NXT versus TNA, and the like. You can catch that for free on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Just search for Wrestling Observer, or, of course, on WrestlingObserver.com. You get a lot of choice in your podcast day. I greatly appreciate the time you spend with me or any of the fine people here at WrestlingObserver.com. Have a great day, and let me know if you see the Smashing Machine. Until next time, insert catchphrase here.